the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. So Starbucks is doing something. They have a new drink. I don't think you're going to like it. I don't think this is going to be as successful as some of the other ones they've done.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll talk about that and so much more. By the way, if you want to get connected on Twitter with me, I love it. It's Brant Hanson on Twitter.
Did you see on Twitter when someone suggested our podcast to Beth Moore?
Oh, no.
You didn't see that?
That's cool.
She said she was driving somewhere and she's like, cool podcast. And they said, yeah, try Brant and Sherry and the Oddcast.
By the way, Beth Moore is a really well-known
evangelical
Christian speaker lady.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she'll like it?
Our podcast?
Yeah.
She would have to maybe listen to a couple to get the flow of what's going on.
It's a hearty endorsement about ourselves. Do you think, I don't know if she'll like us or not. I don't know. Is she that weird? I don't think so. Have to say this every now and then on the show because we have new people listening all the time. Just a little bit about me. I've been diagnosed on the autism spectrum. So has my son. So I have something called Asperger's syndrome. What used to be called that. Now it's been changed in the diagnostic manual, but that doesn't matter.
It has?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's autism spectrum disorder.
Okay.
All that to say, I get a lot of response from people who are going through this either by themselves or with kids. One very common one was, hey, my daughter or my son, like Brant, my daughter or my son has Asperger's syndrome. Any advice? And that's such a big question, and it's hard to know because we're not all exactly the same. We might have some common characteristics like not being able to read social cues or not doing small talk or being really blunt.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we can be, but it's hard for me to just answer that question briefly, except to say this, and I don't want you to take it as like me saying stuff to seem like a good Christian, please. But my honest response is you can't go wrong praying for your son or daughter. Maybe it's for a friend or for their future spouse, for a future job, God's mercy. Maybe you don't even know what to pray because you hurt so bad sometimes for your kid. I get it. But I know that's the Christian answer, but it's true. It's like God cares and he waits for us sometimes to come to him with stuff. So this, if it's heavy on you, I can try to offer advice, but a lot of it's going to be just that. So Starbucks is trying something, and it's grossing people out. Beef jerky on coffee.
Ooh.
Yeah. Pepper nitro with a jerky twist is what it's called. And I don't understand.
The beef jerky is in the coffee?
On top, maybe powder, like beef jerky powder.
Ooh, man.
Okay. So, all right. I want you to freeze that feeling.
Okay, got it.
Because I'm one of these guys that maybe you know somebody who likes the divider plates. I don't like my food mixing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that way about all food mixing the way you do about jerky on coffee. Because I'm like,
what? Really?
I want my coffee here, my jerky there. But you guys are like, well, it's all going to the same place, so what's it matter? Well, apparently it does because
first of all, we don't talk
guys,
like that.
Yeah, you do. When you do, we feel blah blah blah.
Are you telling me mashed
blah,
potatoes
blah, blah, blah,
next to corn?
Are you telling me mashed potatoes?
Okay.
Next to, see, do you hear?
We're gonna have a problem here, ladies
problem,
and gentlemen.
Do you hear that?
Oh boy,
do you hear it? What? You got a problem with what we were just talking about?
Yes.
On the air?
Yes.
Little big O?
Yep.
What? Am I in trouble?
Yes. Yes, you are. I'm glad you asked. That's great.
An unqualified yes. Yes. Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Why?
If you're talking and you're like, Mom, can I have a piece of candy? And my brother would go, Mom, can I have a piece of candy? That goes, it evokes every childhood memory of wanting to strangle my brother. That was the one thing. Anything else he did, who cares? But that, Mom, can I go outside? Mom, can I go outside? That's, yeah, it is
right.
Such a problem.
So I, okay, but how would I know that I would be stepping on that landmine? I mean, that's your experience.
I am telling you now.
So, okay.
It's a landmine. Now you step on it again.
I thought it would be.
You're going to blow up. Everybody clear? See, it's just
I don't think
easy.
I'm just going to blow up. I think somebody's going to blow me up. I think. Let's be more honest.
That's true.
You do that again, somebody's going to blow you up.
See?
Yeah. Please understand, this is from a satirical site. It's from The Onion. They make up the news, but this has a great point with the satire. The headline is, horrible Facebook algorithm accidentally results in exposure to new ideas.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see, that? Because, not that you need this unpacked, but just right. The idea is like, people are in their silos, and what they don't want to do is see something that contradicts what they think, because it makes them
so
mad.
Yeah.
Then they have the comment from Zuckerberg. To those who were forced to read a headline they did not agree with when they visited Facebook yesterday, we are deeply sorry. It's inexcusable failing on our part if your viewpoints were not reinforced by what you saw on screen. I want all Facebook users to know that you'll never again encounter any ideas on our site that are in any way novel or ideologically challenging to you. That's my personal promise.
So true, isn't it?
It is. It is. Like, we just... people like to whip themselves into a frenzy. And I honestly, I think deep down, I think what's going on, I think this is a huge motivator deep down for almost all human behavior. And that is a drive for self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. Like, we love being right. We like being told we're right. We like thinking we're right. We like thinking other people are wrong and that we're righter. That's how we get our justification for living. Like, I'm just so right. And we'll find a way to make it so. And it's the rare person. This is why it's, I think Jesus said, the way is narrow. It's the way, the rare person is humble enough to go, you know what? I'm not okay. I'm not, I actually need a savior. That is such a rare and refreshing and different thing. His name is Ben. We're just talking with him on the phone. He's been married 8 years, he was saying.
And I have a question about, like, what would you tell young guys who want to get married about marriage?
You want my advice?
Yep. Yeah. You've been 8 years in the game. That should be good.
Yep.
Well, I think my advice would be just be ready for a lot of change, I guess. You know, you go in, and especially me, whenever I was in college, I got married right out of college. And, you know, I played video games and did all that, and then I got married, and suddenly, that kind of kid stuff went away because, you know, I had to take care of my wife and spend more time with her and stuff. And, you know, just be prepared for that change because you are no longer yourself.
Oh, bam.
You are now one with another person.
That's good.
You said it better than I was going to. I was going to say, your identity's changing.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife's name may change. Her name may change.
Mm-hmm.
But your identity's changing, too. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You will mature in ways that you never would have if you give yourself into it, if you give yourself over to marriage, if you reconcile yourself to it. It's like people that, if they have children and they don't want to see themselves as moms or dads, even though they are, that's a prescription for frustration and foolishness.
Mm.
But if you hand yourself over to it, yeah, you lose who you were. That's gone. But the new you is awesome. And there's stuff there that would never have developed otherwise. And it's good.
Yeah.
It's just not the same. Just talking about marriage. What's that tweet from this guy?
It says, I still believe it should be against the law for couples to get married before they turn 30. Sorry, you barely know who you are by then.
Huh.
That's what the tweet said. So I immediately sent that to you because you got married so young.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know what you thought about
it. Well, I don't have to defend... like, I can be wrong, so maybe I got married too young, some people would say. I got married at 20.
Did people say it when you got married?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I didn't necessarily know all of it, but I don't think I would know all of it if I got married at 37 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Is it good for a culture, maybe our understanding of marriage is wrong, is it good for a culture to separate, like, when we come of age physically?
Mm-hmm.
We have these, you know, drives and desires and things that God gives us.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep pushing marriage back.
But you can't push the other stuff back.
Right. But we keep pushing marriage back.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you can handle this, but not that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we keep encouraging the desires and stoking those desires,
yeah.
But pushing back the actual place where God's designed that all of the effects of that.
Man, that's a great point.
Or get played out in a healthy way. So, yeah, it seems like we're actually... being really self-destructive. And maybe our problem is we don't understand marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of thinking, let's just wait until we can fully become our fully actualized selves, which never actually happens anyway. Just talking about marriage. Ben's on the phone. So we were talking about this. He got married young. I got married young. This guy on Twitter's like, it should be illegal. You can't get married until you're 30. Just kind of wonder what you thought about that.
I think as a person who is not married, Ben, I think that the longer you wait, the more problematic it can become. I'm speaking specifically from my point of view, because you do develop this idea of yourself, this idea of your life. You've built all of these things. Mm-hmm. And then to join that with someone, I think it's easier when you're younger because then you can kind of build a life. But if you built a life already, and this is, I'm sure I'm going to get emails from people say, I got married when I was 48 and it was fine. I'm just saying.
We're talking in generalities.
Yeah, in general, I think, specifically for my girls who are in college now and we talk about this, I say to them, if this is something you want, I would be praying for it now. I wouldn't be saying, wait till you're 30, wait till you're 35. I would not be saying that. I'd be saying, pray for it now. Ask God about it now, because I think it's easier when you're younger. And more difficult when you get older. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
How old were you when you got married?
I was 22.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about right.
I was 20. And did I know what I was doing? No. and I know, but that's just it. People will say, well, you know, I was 18.
Do I know now? No.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah.
Do you really ever know?
No.
Yeah.
So this is us, my wife and I. We're different people than we were when I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
Different. I'm way more ripped than I was then.
Oh my goodness, Ben. How did I know at some point?
She's had to adjust to that. Because my abs at that point.
Yeah, weren't nearly where they are now.
No.
Well, she's a lucky, lucky lady.
Not sure if it's like this in your neighborhood. We got a little problem where we are. Is people honking?
Mm-hmm.
Come pick somebody up or something. Mm-hmm. 2 a.m. We live in an urban, tight, little Sesame Street-type neighborhood.
So it's impossible for that not to be heard.
This is why I like this idea, because I'd like to be able to respond, but I'm in my house.
Oh, right, right.
This is from Jitka on Twitter. It says, mm-hmm. My dad had a good idea. Sometimes when cars drive by your house, they honk, but you can't respond. That's where house horn comes in.
What is a house horn? I don't understand.
Well, it's just a horn for your house. That way you can respond.
Oh, you're going to blow back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm like, hey, we're here too.
But they're not blowing at you. They're blowing at someone else to come
out
of the house.
We're hearing it, aren't we?
Yeah.
It seems to be.
So it's only right to respond.
Yeah. And I want it to be big horn. Real big. They're like, beep, beep, beep.
House horn, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Oh, house horn. So honored that you are listening. My name is Brant. Producer Sherry is here, too.
Got a message. Someone wants to sing a duet with you. We're getting a lot of these calls.
Sweet. Love this. Mm-hmm. You can leave a voicemail, and then I'll harmonize with you. I like harmonizing. Pretty good at it.
Shay Duvall calling to sing so you can harmonize. Brant.
Yes.
And come thy fount of every blessing.
Okay.
Come thy fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise.
I'm nailing it.
Teach
mm-hmm.
me some melodious song it. Sung by flaming tongues above.
Nice.
Hear my heart.
She's
fixed upon
she's
it. I know, but
okay.
I want to finish.
All right, go ahead.
Fixed upon it. For it's
above. Oh, look at that crescendo. So, you know, it ceases to be a duet once the person...
I absolutely nailed it.
It wasn't bad.
Nailed it.
Wasn't bad.
Switched to bass there at the end.
Yeah, we heard.
Covered the gamut of all possible... All the possible all harmonies were covered in that song right there that we did. Don't know if you've been to this restaurant. It's a little expensive. And by a little expensive, I mean it's $600 a plate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's for like these tech CEOs, Facebook and Google people and all that sort of stuff.
It's out of our price range, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was looking at this because I haven't been invited to this restaurant. I was looking at this article about it. And apparently the chef's very proud of the gold-flaked steaks.
Oh, they put gold flakes on the steak. Well, for $600, you probably should.
But the chef says it doesn't really have any flavor.
The gold flakes?
Yeah. then... Later in the article, he gets frustrated that people photograph their steaks before eating them. He's like, you need to eat these, not just look at it. Like, so
he's adorned the steak with gold flakes.
But he doesn't want anybody to look at it.
Okay.
And he says it doesn't have any flavor.
Let's talk about your mixed messages.
I'd be frustrated. It's like Tony the Tiger. I want you to think about this. Take a step back. You can't taste the frosting. Well, then why do you keep talking about it? And you keep claiming they're great, but why would you frost it and then make a big deal out of it if it's like, well, you can't taste it.
Right, that's a good analogy.
All right. Keep thinking, and maybe this is a bad idea, I don't know, but I keep thinking that maybe I should be a shock jock. This is not the music that I had planned for this.
I'm shocked by it all.
Hang on a second. I wanted something. Yeah, there we go. Okay. I wanted to be a shock jock.
Okay.
But I also want to be rated G.
Yeah, that's hard to combine those two. I haven't seen it done successfully.
Well, hang on, because I think I've figured out how to do it.
Okay.
With shocking facts.
Oh, dear.
Sienna hit me up with this on Facebook. Check this out. The average toad, and I never really thought about this, over the course of a toad's life, how many insects do you think it eats?
I'm not sure, Shock Jock. How many?
10,000.
Oh, man.
Shocking?
I'm shocked by a lot of this.
Yeah. I'm a shock jock and causing a big buzz out there. People are like, I can't believe what he just said about that. But think about that. That's 10,000. They're busy. Busy frogs. We have some breaking animal news that's happening right now. I want to get straight to the point because it's a really deep point that I have here.
Okay.
It's been handed this. So anyway, I did see this documentary about sea otters, right?
Yes.
Okay. So think about this. The mom sea otter carries the baby sea otter, and this is all going to apply to your life. All right?
Okay.
Carries the baby sea otter, and she swims on her back, you know, as this baby sea otter, just a big fluffy, furry sea otter baby, and she swims around with it. Well, at some point, she's got to get food for the baby.
Right.
So what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? You're lying on your back. You got this baby.
Mm-hmm.
So what she does is she fluffs up the fur of the baby sea otter, just sticks it there by itself in the water on its back, this tiny thing, and then she disappears.
Okay.
Well, she's going straight down and she's getting some food and she's watching from below, but you're not sure what's going on if you're the baby sea otter. And I love the view on the documentary because the baby sea otter is just looking up at the sky going,
where am I? What's going on?
He doesn't even know how to swim, but she's fluffed him up so much that he's okay. And it did dawn on me, like, look, that's in the best interest of the baby sea otter. He's going to get food. He's going to learn how to swim. This is all part of experience of what it means to become strong and become what he's supposed to be. And putting it in theological terms, I know I'm the only one on the radio right now doing an otter theological point. I get that. But can you see where sometimes we get used to experiencing God in a certain way, and then when it doesn't happen, we think he's abandoned us? He hasn't. It's just we were used to this when we were babies, and that was good for a time, but it's all part of becoming who we need to be. And it's okay. He hasn't abandoned us. He's actually doing something that's actually good for us, and he's every bit is with us, but it's just different. And that's part of life. Appreciate Pat chiming in on our history segment from yesterday. We were talking about how it used to be that grandmas...
Oh, grandma candy.
Yeah, they had kind of an unspoken code, or maybe it's written somewhere, but to have candy, but not necessarily the candy you want.
Yeah. Actually, what I would imagine is the worst candy ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like hand-chosen at the grandma store so that they'd have it. It's like...
we don't want that, Grandma, but yeah.
The butterscotch and stuff. Anyway, Pat, I don't know if she took umbrage at that or not, but she's super nice on Twitter. She said, well, look, I'm a grandma, and I don't have grandma candy. I make sure I have their favorites just for them.
Oh, that's nice, Pat. Good.
It is, Pat.
Yeah.
So maybe times have changed, and there's new grandmas, and they're not doing that anymore.
Oh, no. I tell you what. Ruth Hill, that was my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
It was all butterscotch and gooey strawberry.
Mm-hmm. Myrtle Hansen also felt that butterscotch was what we deserved. And maybe this is on your mind, because we get this quite a bit of people going, hey, especially if they're in media, because we're in media or whatever, but high schoolers, college people, should I do podcasts or YouTube or Facebook Lives? I mean, how do I build my platform? You know, do I do this and that and the other thing? Because they want a platform. My advice to them, and it has happened a lot, like, ask God for something to say, not necessarily for the platform to say it. Like, there's all this discussion about should it be on YouTube, or should I, you know, do this or that, or should I write this, or do, like, well, if you don't have something to say, you don't need a platform. And, but I see a lot of that, like, people doing all these different, they feel like they need to be known.
Yeah.
But what's your thing? Or are you just saying yourself over and over and over and over and over? And I know it sounds...
No, it's a good point.
Okay, yeah.
It is. And in this industry, we get people asking us that all the time.
Yeah, and I think...
And I don't know that they realize how difficult it is to have something to say all the time.
Right, but then it comes out of your heart, and it's something that God is using in your life, and then... So I always want to talk about that. Like, mm-hmm. what do you feel like God's teaching you, and then you can turn around and talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
Other than just, it's me. Like, there's enough of that going on in the world. We don't need any more of it. Honestly, we don't. There's other stuff we can do. If you could put two words up on, like, your mirror or something, so you see it every day, or, you know, somewhere on the door on the way out, two words. I might pick these two. Don't hold me to it. Don't be like, I just came up with two better ones, Brant. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Okay.
I would pick these to give to somebody, maybe when they're just, you know, 18 years old, setting out for life, going out to college, starting your job, whatever. I'd put these two words as a full sentence. Feelings lie.
Oh, wow.
I would put that on the door. Maybe put it in the car. Feelings lie. Or like Eugene Peterson said, feelings are great liars. I mean, not, they don't lie all the time, but they should lie a lot. A lie so much that you can't trust them, and you certainly can't base big decisions on them. They come and go. They will mislead you. I mean, if you internalize that and remember not to trust your feelings, you know, your life will go better. I guarantee that. I've learned that the hard way.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.